Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, listening to us each and every week as we come to you live over the air. KCAA.com is the website. KCAA is the radio station both Saturday and Sunday, and they broadcast to you in the Inland Empire, San Bernardino, Riverside counties. And thank you very much for tuning in and listening as you're driving around right now today. It will be a wonderful weekend for you if I can provide you with the best information. Best information being that, it's sunny, it's 75 degrees, and it's no rain in sight. Those are the main things that I can give you right now. All seriousness, I wanted to talk quickly about a couple of things, but first let's get some details of where you can find me out of the way. I'm on YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice, and we've been on there for, many, many years. We have hundreds of shows there. Many people actually binge watch several months of the show, and then I get texts from them saying, hey, love the show, thanks very much. If you want to get a perspective on where we've been and where maybe we are heading, that is a way to do it. You can also go to the website, which is themortgagevoice.com. That's a terrific place to go and see and hear not only me, but the guests from the show. You can get in touch with them individually as their contact information and some of the information about who they are and where you can get them is available there. So those two places, great places to go, as well as, of course, KCAA itself, and that's on the AM and FM dial in the Inland Empire. Okay, now that that's out of the way, I am Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. Let's get right to a couple of things right away. The rates, what are they? What are the mortgage rates, and how much more expensive is it this week than last week? Okay, so 7.2% is the mortgage rate for the 30-year fixed, 6.66% is the 15-year, 6.64 is FHA, 7.41 is the jumbo, and the VA loan is, of course, at 6.65. There is no good news in any of that immediately, but historically, it's still pretty good rates in terms of the historical perspective on where rates have been over the last 20 years and where they, are currently. We're right in the middle of where we've been from the 2.5-3% mortgages all the way up to 15-16% mortgages, which we had back in the 80s. Let's see, the extended period. Okay, so the Fed came out, left rates exactly where they were. The Fed rate is different than the mortgage rate, and I mentioned that many times on the show. So if you listen to the show, you know that. If you're new to the show, you don't know that. The mortgage interest rates that you pay for your mortgage are based on bonds, 10-year bonds mostly, but a few other determinant factors. The Fed rate has some component that is within the mortgage interest rate, but basically, I'm going to lend you money. How am I going to price that money is dependent upon where I get the money, how much I have to spend in order to keep the money and lend it to you. And then eventually, when I get a mortgage, sell it back to either Fannie or Freddie or some private equity or some hedge fund or sovereign fund or, any number of these different ways that mortgages are replenished monetarily and then lent back out to you. That's really how the lender looks at your loan. And that's, as I said, dependent many ways on what the Treasury does and, of course, the short-term interest rates that the Fed charges member banks in order to make sure that they have their liquidity that they need on a monthly basis, on a daily basis. They come to the Fed and borrow money, and that is the Fed funds rate. And that is reflected in your interest rate that you are paying, because then the banks or whoever is borrowing money from the Fed or tangentially through other institutions that borrow from the Fed or the non-QM type loans, which are much more expensive in terms of how you are, for instance, 30-year fixed rate today, 7.2%. I believe the non-QM type loans, which are the DSCR, the stated, the bank statement loans, the ITIN loans, there's a number of different products, and we'll get into it because we have a number of guests on the show today that are going to talk about different types of products, where the market is right now, but those types of loans are going to cost you at least a point, if not a point and a half more. And, of course, that's also dependent on you, your FICO score, what your credit score is, and how that is priced into the loan. So all that being what it is, what did the Fed say? What did they do? They had rates remain exactly where they have been for the last five or six different times that the Fed has met, and there is some talk right now because inflation has, it hasn't really heated up, but it's heated up in terms of the political sense. The Fed may actually look at raising rates one more time before the end of the year rather than the three or four rate cuts that we were promised not 2 months ago or 3 months ago. It is a fickle thing, this inflation, and so are the way that the Fed thinks about it. A couple of quotes from some of the Fed governors. We have 16 Fed governors, 9 different Fed areas, and they all have say. The voting members are, you know, those that set rates. The Fed chair is the one that adjusts the agenda as to where he thinks it should be going, and it is, of course, Jerome Powell. The Boston Fed person, Susan Collins, said that longer than previously thought. Yeah, that's what I just said. That's what she's saying about how long the Fed is going to keep the rates the way they are. And those, as I said, affect you, the mortgage rate. It really affects directly your credit card debt, which credit card payment, which I was reading, and I'm trying to look for the note now. It talks about this month how credit card usage has really dropped, fallen off a cliff is what it said, meaning that we were in a, I think $1.2 trillion credit card debt in the last couple of months as it keeps driving up, as we keep trying to maintain the spending from all the savings that had been accumulated during COVID. Now, if you can believe it, that money has lasted until about now. And because of that fact, people have stopped spending because you can't continue to spend that way if, in fact, your credit cards are maxed out and you got to pay minimums and you have no more savings. That's what it's talking about in the article. That's what Susan Collins is talking about here from the Fed in Boston. 2% in a reasonable amount of time. That's what she said. Now, what does that mean? 2%, 2% inflation rate. 2% is where we want to be, is what we're trying to strive for. We've talked on this show before about why 2% is the number. I'll just briefly go over it today. 2% is the number because that's where we were historically for, a decade at least. And people had become used to that particular number. And the economy was used to that, meaning that the staged work related increases in pay, the costs that are associated with that pay going up incrementally rather than big jumps like they have been going. I mean, if you look at any metric right now about what food costs are, what gas costs are, what travel costs are, anything about homeowners related items, whether it be repair people or gas or electric, or all of that has gone up 15 to 20% over the last 2 or 3 years. Now, that's not sustainable, obviously, but that 2% number is, and that's why we want to get back down to that. That's why Susan Collins said, hey, 2% in a reasonable amount of time. Well, what is a reasonable amount of time? During the look at it, and if you say, okay, for 2 years we saw inflation really catch fire up to 9.5%. Now it's stubbornly at 3.5%. And when is it going to get down to 2%? The reasonable amount of time is what? 2 months, 5 months, 6 months, a year? All of those could be considered reasonable. So we're probably not going to see the rate from the Fed decrease unless we start to see some effects of the actual rate decline. On inflation, we have seen it obviously come down from 9.5% all the way down to 3.5%. So we need to see it continue before we're going to see any movement towards cutting rates at the Fed, which again tangentially affects what you pay in your mortgage interest rates and all of that. What does it mean? It means that we've got some ways to go. It is, yes, almost the beginning of summer, soon enough, another month or so, and then we will see where we are at that time. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. I really appreciate you listening to the show, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For questions or comments, send emails to info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to the Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. Really appreciate the feedback we get on what we talk about, whether it's the rates at certain lenders or whether it's just the overall view of the market from the people we bring on the show. We always have terrific guests. These people come to us, and they do it freely to be able to provide information to the audience out there in the IE, and they've been doing it for many, many, many years. And once again, joining us on the show from Change Wholesale is Cyril DePalma. Cyril, how are you?
I'm good, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much for coming on. I really appreciate it. And let's just give a quick synopsis as to what's happened this year, and then I'll ask you briefly about it. We started at a certain rate climate, thinking that somehow we were going to maintain that downward trend in the mortgage interest rates, but just the opposite happened, as always does anytime I guess wrong, which is all the time lately in the last 4 or 5 years in the mortgage industry. What do you see, and how are you handling the way it goes? I know you do a lot of non-QM, but give us your overall perspective on what that is.
Yeah, so basically, you know, we did see the inflation come in a little hotter than expected over the first quarter of this year, which obviously brought rates, coming in hotter than expected.
Yep.
We're a diverse lender, and we offer a lot of different types of programs for borrowers out there to help qualify for alternative financing where you wouldn't be able to get financing if it was like a regular conventional Fannie and Freddie type loan or maybe some FHA lending out there. They do come in with some little bit higher interest rates, but they also are a little more lenient when it comes to qualifying, other than just your regular W-2 borrower, more geared towards your self-employed clientele.
Okay.
We do offer some 90% LTV bank statement program for clients who are self-employed or also just a W-2. We also offer the debt service coverage ratio loans for investor purposes. With 20% down, we disqualify based upon the debt service of the property. So those are some different type of programs that we do offer out there. And we also have our no employment, no income type loan that does require 25% down. And we also offer that for cash out refinances to 70% loan to value for those who.
What's that program called?
That is our community program.
Okay.
It's a no income, no employment verification loan. That's backed by borrower's reserves and FICO score. That is a loan that is approved by the CDFI, which we are approved lender with. For those who don't understand what CDFI is, that is the Community Development Financial Institution approved by the U.S. Treasury Department.
Yeah, this is a very good loan, and you guys have kind of an exclusivity on it for right now. Tell us all about that particular loan, because I like the fact that you can have a no-income verifications, and it's based on, what did you say it was based on, is reserves and your FICO score?
Yes, based on the FICO score and the reserves of the client. So
okay.
The borrower has liquidity with reserves. They want to buy a property, whether it's a SFR or a 1-to-4-unit property or whatnot. They can qualify with 25% down with a FICO score of 680 and above, and that will get the borrower into the loan. And, you know, they can refinance down the road once they have their income stream and more in line.
Now, the FICO score, what did you say the median FICO score had to be? 680?
The minimum FICO, 680, correct.
Now, that's not a very high FICO score, right? I mean, in all things being equal, most loans, especially A paper and the conventional side, want at least 720 and above.
Typically, to get the best rate, you'd want to have
right.
a 720 FICO score and above, for sure.
Okay, so the rates themselves are based on FICO score, or they're based on reserves, or you have kind of a matrix to be able to figure that out?
The interest rate would be based upon the FICO score and generally. The reserve requirements, so you do want to see 9 months reserves typically
okay.
for purchase.
And how is all that verified? Traditional way, you just go through a verification process with you guys?
Yeah, so we would do a verification process of bank statements. for 30 days, and we do that with a verification of deposit.
Now, I don't know if you saw, there was a couple of brokers back east got busted for pumping up the owner-occupied versus non-owner-occupied properties, and it looks like they got arrested last week, and there's a big problem in terms of trying to prevent that sort of thing, especially in these types of situations where you're not really verifying income and such. How are you guys doing that?
So this particular product here would be basically, you know, for your typical first-time home buyer.
Sure.
So you wouldn't have any type of other loans financed for this particular product. For the debt to service income ratio loans, those are just typically going to be for non-owner occupied properties whatsoever.
I see.
So it really depends on what a borrower would have on their credit report as far as mortgage financing goes.
Okay, so the rates and where the rates are headed. Now, I always ask these questions, and of course, neither one of us have a crystal ball, but what's your sense from your talk at the company?
So, I mean, obviously, it's kind of like we're all in the mold of data dependent from the feds currently at the
right.
moment. So we kind of gauge with that. I mean, on a monthly and daily basis, the fluctuation of where the inflation report's going to be.
Yeah, I know. And that's is that coming out soon or had just come out?
We have our next CPI report due out, I believe, May 15th.
Yeah, it's soon enough around the corner. It's one of those things whereby I constantly want to have people make more money, but at the same time that raises the specter of more inflation, because as soon as you pay more people money, you got to charge more people for your products, right? I mean, that's kind of the cycle we're in right now. It's a frustrating thing for people who are looking to have interest rates go down if they're looking at the Fed saying, no, we're not going to lower rates. We might even raise rates.
Yeah, I would say that's correct there, Jeff. It's also kind of like we're in that mold of where we hear from the Feds is basically bad news is good news for interest rates.
That's right. That's right.
Kind of a catch 22 there.
Well, you know, in our business, right, we do well as a industry, the mortgage industry, when the economy's bad because the interest rates get lowered and everybody refis. That's kind of how it's always been, at least the last 20, 25 years that I've been in the business.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. Yeah, when economy's humming, you're going to have higher interest rates. When the economy's not doing so hot, you're going to have the lower interest rates, and that's where you're.
Do you see
get in the marketplace?
Right. Do you see volume in loans higher, lower? I mean, I know what the statistics say, but each lender is a little bit different.
I would say it's kind of steady coming out of the first quarter here. I wouldn't say it's great. I wouldn't say it's bad. I would just say it's kind of happy median right there.
I see. Everybody said, well, on our end, on the originator end, it's kind of treading water, right? I mean, you're tapped into your old clients, obviously have been for the last year, year and a half, because rates being what they are, you can't really sell new product to somebody, you know. I mean, yes, people are buying houses, but they are not refining, and that was, you know, 70-80% of the business 3 years ago. So
yeah, I would definitely say it's definitely a purchase money market at the moment.
Right.
Unless you're a lender who is out there, servicing second mortgages out there and selling those to clients. That's the only type of refinancing I see really going on.
I agree. I agree with that. Now, I was talking in an earlier segment about insurance. You know, California is in a bit of a quandary right now because a lot of insurance companies are leaving the state. How are you all dealing with that?
We don't typically get too much involved on the insurance side aspect of it. That's going to be more of the client and the broker putting that together. But yeah, we definitely see quite a few insurance companies leaving the business. You are 100% correct about that.
Oh, yeah, unfortunately,
it's bringing up prices on insurance for clients, and it does make it a bit of an issue for affordability when they're trying to get that new insurance premium.
Right, exactly. You've got insurance rates going up. You've got mortgage rates going up. House prices going up. The poor home buyer is in a quandary. Even existing properties are financed or however they're – like, for instance, if you lose your insurance and you've got a loan, how does that affect a loan?
Exactly. You're exactly right. If the insurance premium is too high, it'll drag on your debt-to-income ratio and make it harder to qualify for the transaction.
Right.
Obviously, if you're taking out a loan, you got to have hazard insurance on the property. So if you can't get the insurance, you can't get a loan.
Yeah, it's a mess, and I don't see anybody addressing it yet. They're waiting for some other person to, I guess, run in and save the day here. I just don't see it. Anyway, Cyril, thanks very much. Could you shout out a way by which people can get in touch with you?
Yes, absolutely. That's Chains Wholesale Lending. Phone number is 949-351-8599. That is Cyril De Palma. Call me with any questions you may have.
Cyril, thanks very much. Always appreciate you coming on the show. Great insight.
Great. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Thank you very much. Good. That's Cyril De Palma from Chains Wholesale. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For questions or comments, send emails to info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in, listening to the show as we bring it to you each and every week in the Inland Empire. It's San Bernardino and Riverside Counties. KCAA is our radio station affiliate out there, and we have a number of podcasting affiliates as well. Daryl?
Yes, Jeff. It is an extensive list. It's Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Odyssey, YouTube, podclips.io, and themortgagevoice.com.
Okay, a whole bunch of different places where you can see us and hear us. If you just want to communicate with us, the best way to do that is through the YouTube channel. Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice, that's our YouTube channel. Also, a podcast. Do you like podcasts? I kind of like them. I mean, a lot of the different podcasts that you might be able to get, one over here, one over there, gets kind of like, where is what I'm trying to find? Well, if you go to podclips.io, you can find a number of different podcasts in one place, whether it's about lifestyle or finance, which is what I'm under, or whether it's sports, or whether it's dispute resolution, all of the things that you need in one place. It's a good place to do it, podclips.io. Go there and you can get satisfied to your podcasting wants and needs. Okay, I am Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice, and again, thanks very much. Every week we bring to the show different people, and I say this every show, two or three times, but it's true. The people we bring on the show are experts in what they talk about and in the field with which they talk to you about. They are boots on the ground, people that have been in the business, elbow to elbow, that kind of thing. And Luke Mankey, who joins us now, is no exception. He's a great loan officer, good person, and somebody you can trust with the answers that they give you. Anyway, Luke, how are you?
I'm good, Jeff. I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for having me back on.
Thank you, and thank you very much for coming on. I really appreciate it. And I think all of what I said is true, and for those of you who don't have a go-to person in the mortgage business, Luke would be the person. Tell us about the business. What's happening right now? Everyone talks about the rates and how terrible they are, and it's the purchase market, refi's dead. How's your business? What's going on?
Yeah, it's a lot of what you just said. Very few refinances. You get some people inquiring, and there are a lot of options out there for seconds. And I mean, it's aggressive how high of loan amounts they'll go up to for people to tap into the equity. But as soon as they hear 9 to 12%, they're like, oh, gosh, I don't know if I need the money that bad if I'm going to pay that high of a rate.
Right.
But others are. It's really been a purchase market for me, and it's tough. Like, I'm up in Ventura right now, and I've gotten a few purchases where we got, you know, first crack and we got multiple offers and they accepted ours, which we felt good. And then clients in LA right now, a couple offers we submitted Sunday and Monday, and 22 to 26 offers, on these places. And we're just getting murdered, all cash, 2 week close. And it's, how do you compete with that?
You don't. And it's funny. Last week I was on the show and we were reading a little bit of the statistics, as we always do, that the cash buyer has really dropped down to about 6-7%. But you're saying no in this particular case, cash buyer. How do you compete? You're right.
That's interesting. I hadn't heard that percentage. I believe it. As an investor, which usually you think cash buyer investor usually. It's hard. I don't know. It's hard to think that you're going to make a great return. But maybe you, I don't know. Maybe with this inventory, there still is a good potential. Or maybe even if they're going to occupy it as their primary, they've just pooled funds or gotten, you know, financing in order where they can pay all cash and then they'll do like a delayed. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Is the cash buyer an investor? Is that the way we look at it mostly?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of times, the ones that I come across, that's usually what they are. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Not fair to say for everyone. I just have come across more as them being investors. But you're right. I mean, it could be somebody that, you know, especially if it's, we're talking higher, you know, maybe they sold $1.2 million, $1.3 million house and then they're downgrading to something. And so they're paying all cash. Yes, there's definitely those where they're going to occupy it.
Yeah, I just thought in California, like you said, the investment person, do they really get a return on their investment here? Don't you have to wait a few years before you even see a percentage that makes sense after costs of selling and fixing the property and, you know, commissions and all that? You know, I mean, especially when you're dealing with multi-million-dollar properties, it really, you know, and all properties in California are multi-million, it seems, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, a first-time home, it's like a starter home seems to be $1 million, which is depressing.
Right, very depressing.
For the buyers.
Okay, give us an idea on programs. What are you selling?
A little bit of everything. I mean, okay. We've done a couple hard money things, but I mean, there's your standard conventional FHA that is usually what I'm looking into. FHA is pricing a little more aggressively at the lower down 5, even 10. It's beating out conventional 15. It's kind of a coin toss.
Right.
So, I mean, those are common. We're seeing more people. I've listened to a presentation this morning about down payment assistance. That's starting, but I don't know how much that's going to apply in California again because, shoot, it's so competitive in most markets that does a seller want to see somebody with down payment like that? It's like, so I don't know, maybe that's more applicable and aggressive in other states. I have yet to see one through, but there's no shortage of products. It's starting to feel a little bit like, you know, 05, 6, 7, where everyone's getting more aggressive. Even your A paper top tier Quickens and UWM, like usually the low price reader. Now you're seeing those lenders stepping into the non-QM sector and offering all these bank statement programs. And so if they're getting aggressive, they're hungry, it just goes to show you, it's cutthroat out there. Like everyone's trying to be as aggressive as they can because there's just such little volume.
Okay, so where is it headed all? I mean, is this an ad infinitum going on forever kind of thing where we see prices and mortgage rates and also the ability of people to step in with all kinds? Is this sort of like where it's going to happen? And I say forever. Really what I mean is this season through the end of the year shaping up to be something like this?
It feels like it. It feels like it's going to be rough through this year. Then we get to election. Because, I 6 weeks ago, if I was on the phone with you, I would have been a little more optimistic because rates were down 3/4 from where they are today, which was a nice low. And I had 3 different clients all looking to refinance that we closed loans for in 22, 23, and it was making sense. And they were excited. And then the rates shot up. And now everything's dead. And now it just doesn't feel like there's a compelling reason to drop the rate just yet. I don't know. Unemployment's at what, 4% now? So maybe
So when that happens, have the lenders adjusted, i.e., if you have a rate in a certain range that a buyer wants and they want to lock that rate, the standard procedure was you have to have the loan registered, you have to have it submitted, and then you can lock the rate. Or lock the rate after you get a certain amount of approval. Can you lock the rate ASAP as soon as you register the loan? I mean, how quickly is that process available?
I can. I mean, I can put together, we can upload a file, which I can put together. You know, if somebody came at me, you know, today and was on point, within a day, 24 hours, we can put together enough of an application, upload and lock, and then kind of scramble to get everything we need to submit. So yes, we can move quick. If the client is on point, I will do it for them as well. And yes, we can kind of quickly try and catch that falling knife, if you will, really good window.
What's the advice to the client then? I mean, the client who's waiting for the rates to drop, they should be ready right now to submit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. That's usually, a lot of times it's a struggle. A lot of times there's motivation, like, oh, it looks good. Okay, let's do it. And then if it holds, of course, we get the loan going and we close it. But in this instance where we had a nice window, Right. Move, nobody really moved quick enough because you, I don't know, it's like you get comfortable.
Yeah, of course.
Force like a human. It's like, all right, they're good. Okay, it's been rough for a year and a half, 2 years. It's going to get better. So you kind of think you have time and then it gets yanked away. So
that's
what
the
I learned.
Human nature, yeah. It's unbelievable. No, I think the same way. You just get, it's not lazy. You just say, oh, you're comfortable. Okay. We're going to wait. We're going to see if it goes even lower. And, and then all of a sudden it reverses and goes higher. And you're like, oh, sorry. I missed that one.
Yeah.
Hey,
really,
listen. Go ahead.
I knew how easy, not easy. We really had it comfortable for so many years from like 15 to, hell, I mean, I guess it
22.
Jacked up a little bit before COVID, but so many years of it just being largely stable. So it's like we all worked our tails off, but it wasn't like, oh my God, we got to scramble because they're going to shoot up.
Right. Right
now, it's just the market is so unpredictable that it's tough. I mean, I'm not, you know, we're all grinding it out.
Right.
And
it's, no.
I know the problem. I mean, yeah, we all know it's going to get stupid busy again once rates ease a little bit, even a percent. But, yeah. Anyway, sorry, you were gonna.
No problem. No, I was just saying we're out of time, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to shout out your phone number, a way by which people can contact you over at Malibu Funding.
Thank you. Thank
sure.
you. My cell is 818-209-2592, and email is luke@mankeylending.com. Thank you.
Excellent. Jeff. Hey, that's a nice new email address. I like that a lot.
I thank you. I've been meaning to get that new domain and finally got it, and now it's it'll follow me everywhere.
So. Oh, no, that's very good. I appreciate that. Okay, Luke, thanks very much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff. You're welcome.
Thank you. That's Luke Mankey from Malibu Funding. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For questions or comments, send emails to info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in and listening to us on a weekly. If you are one of the KCAA family out there and you listen to a whole bunch of their shows, we're on every Saturday and Sunday. If you haven't heard us in the past, like I say, we've been doing it for about 10 years. We always bring to you information that you can use. People that come on the show are the best people in the business, and I don't mean to Donald Trump it, but I am serious. They're really good, know what they're doing, been in the business a long time, and can give you the benefit of that experience. And in this particular market where you've got a lot of people competing for that house you want to buy, you need the best possible mortgage person available and ready to go to work for you. And once more, I bring that kind of person to the show. Bill Orr from Omega Realty, Omega Mortgage, comes on right now. Bill, how are you?
I'm great, man. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. We were talking a little bit off air. Bill and I are both hockey veterans. Bill still plays. But like the hockey playoffs, you're never quite sure what the rates are going to be. I'm never quite sure where we're heading. I know it's been a challenge for both the originator but also the lender themselves. Where do you see it heading, and what do you think is the best path forward for someone who's looking for a home, first-time mortgage?
Well, I'm going to say something. Look, we all know the rates are up right now, so I'm going to say something kind of funny. And when people hear me say it, they laugh, but then when I explain it, it makes sense.
Uh-huh.
So, look, rates are up for everybody right now. Whether you're in Portland, Maine, or San Diego, or Seattle, or Miami, rates are up. So nobody in this world or this in the country who buys a home right now is going to keep that mortgage because they're going to refinance when rates come lower. So what I tell people is to marry the house, but only date the interest rate. And people are like, what are you talking about? So you find the house, you love the house, you make the long-term commitment to it, you move the family in, you get the kids in school, the whole routine. But the interest rate is just like a date. Maybe a date the interest rate for 9 months, maybe a date the interest rate for 2 years. But we all know as soon as rates come down, going to go for the lower interest rate. So if you find a house that you like, don't get too overly concerned about interest rates because there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
And the evidence shows that if you wait, it only gets worse. So an example I'll make is, we'll say you want to buy a $500,000 house, but you want to wait. Well, we've all seen situations where a house goes on the market for $500,000, and by the time the weekend is over with people bidding on the house, it's now $519,000, it's $520,000, $525,000. So the house went up in value $25,000 in 3 days.
Right.
Most people can't save that kind of money in a month, let alone 3 days.
Right.
But what conversely, you buy the $500,000 house right now, then rates come down to a year and a half from now. So now the house is worth $550,000. So if we use that logic, if you choose to wait for a year and a half or 2 years, you're going to buy a $450,000 house.
Right.
But you're going to pay $500,000 for it. Because a year and a half ago, when you should have bought the house, you would have paid $500,000 for a house that's now $550,000. The same thing is also true. You could have bought a house a year and a half ago for $450,000, but now you're going to buy the exact same house, but you're going to pay $500,000 for it because you waited. In addition to that, you also lost a year and a half or 2 years with a tax write-offs and things like that. So whether the rates are high or low, Google it. Graph of home property values in the United States, and it'll show you the graph from like 1950, 1960, 1970, whenever the graph starts, and the graph only goes one way, up. A little bit jigs, a little bit up and down, but the graph overall is, it goes up.
I agree with you on the value of home prices. We were talking earlier about, I don't know, there's some $11, $12 trillion worth of equity in the homes right now of people who own, and then 48 million people can tap into some form of equity.
Right.
So these are big numbers. The question of when you have a low interest rate mortgage and you want to tap into that, how do you justify refining that mortgage out, or do you go to get a second?
Well, I get a second mortgage. I mean, there are circumstances when the client cannot get a refinance on a second mortgage. Only they have to refinance the first in order to get the money that they want. But yeah, if they've got a great rate, by all means, don't touch it. You know, if you need $100,000 or $200,000, and if we can get you approved for a home equity line of credit or a fixed rate second mortgage, obviously that's going to be preferable. But if you need the money, you need the money. And there's other ways to help you get the money if you can't get a HELOC.
What do you see as the, are people doing the fixes anymore? Is that kind of loan, that 502, the FHA loan of fixing up properties, is that still a popular loan, or is that tapped out?
You know, I haven't seen one of those in a while, but I think it's a great idea.
Right.
So instead of trying to go out at the top of the market and, you know, buy the pristine house, you know, that if you just can't get the house that you want because there's so many competitors, maybe you buy a house that's a little bit less expensive that you can fix it up with the 203K. What Jeff was talking about is an FHA mortgage called an FHA 203K,
right,
where it gives you money to fix up the house all at one time. So you buy the house for $500,000, for example, and you want to build a new roof, new kitchen, new bedroom, blah, blah, blah. So it'll actually get you a loan for the purchase of the home, as well as the $80,000, $90,000 to fix up the home the way you want it, all at the same time, all under one loan. It's closely guarded by FHA, so you're safe in doing that as well. So it's a great little program.
In the purchase market, let's talk about that a little bit. What are you seeing as the FICO score, the ability to get insurance, and obviously the amount of loans? Where are you seeing all these things land?
Where am I? I missed the first part. What are you seeing about the FICO score?
The FICO scores, where are we? Are we still over 720 as an average for FICO scores?
Yeah, I see. You know, I talked to somebody today whose FICOs are a little bit down.
Uh-huh.
But usually I'm seeing 700 or above.
Right.
You know, thankfully most mortgage lenders will allow you to get a loan with a score of only 620. And FHA, you can get a score down to, I think, 580, 590.
Okay.
So if you the main thing is, if you think you've got bad credit, unless you've been doing this for a long time like I have and like you have, Jeff, most likely if you're listening to this radio show, with all due respect, you're not qualified to disqualify yourself.
Right.
So the best thing to do is pick up the phone, call Jeff, call me, and we'll see if we can help you buy a house, and then you let the economy take care of it from there.
Okay, second question, availability of insurance. You had any problems with people getting fire insurance, homeowners insurance?
Not problems, but yes, it's an issue now.
Right.
I mean, there are a lot of the home carriers have stopped. So most cases when I'm working with the client to buy a house, they're also working with a real estate agent, and the real estate agent has tried to scramble to try to provide a referral for the client or someplace to start. You know what I tell people that I work with? If you're trying to buy a house, the first people you call is your current car insurance company.
Right.
Because if they offer homeowners insurance, you can maybe talk with them about getting what's called a multi-policy discount, where you get your car and your home insured at the same time, hope you get a better deal on your car insurance.
Right, that's a great, and then finally, the programs available now, what do you see is the most popular or the one that you're seeing being utilized? Is it a non-QM type product? Is it more FHA or is it conventional?
I am seeing a mix. FHAs are still popular, particularly for first-time homebuyer.
Right.
I wind up doing a lot of work with people who are self-employed, and sometimes people who are self-employed can be a little bit tricky because,
right.
you know, a lot of times all the income that they the tax returns are not a true representation of the lifestyle that they lead.
Okay.
They usually live a much more full life and, enjoyable life than what the tax returns show. The tax returns show they only pay taxes on $30,000 or $40,000, when in reality they're driving a brand-new car, living in a nice area, and they're living the lifestyle of somebody who's making a lot more money than the tax return show. So those are a little more tricky to get the loans approved, and I do those all the time.
Right, and that sounds like a non-QM product, right?
Correct.
Okay, and those non-QM products are available to a lot of different people who have different needs than your straightforward 80-20 conventional buyer.
That's right. I mean, there's a whole boatload of programs that aren't available that you can't get at Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Chase, Citibank, Credit
right.
Union, things like that. I mean, those are just a very, very limited number of loan programs that those big banks offer. There's a whole world out there. So it's really, if you think you have anything outside the norm, it's always better to talk with somebody who's been doing this for a long time to try to give you the perspective. I've had several clients, I'm sure you have too,
right.
that got turned down by Bank of America, and I helped them buy a house.
Well, there you go. So anybody out there who needs somebody, especially the experienced guy, call Bill. Hey, Bill, in that way, shout out how people might be able to get in touch with you.
Great, thank you. My
sure.
name is Bill, and my last name is Orr, O-R-R. I'm with Omega Lending, and the phone number is 818-406-4744. Again, 818-406-4744.
Excellent, Bill. Thank you very much for coming on the show. Always like it and always like the experience that you bring to the answers you give. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
Thank you very much. That's Bill Orr from Omega Lending. I am Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For questions or comments, send emails to info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, for listening to us on a weekly basis as we try to bring to you the best news possible, either in the mortgage or in the real estate world. We have a lot of great guests that always come on the show and inform and tell you about what's happening either in the lender or as a loan officer or a real estate professional or any number of different things that can affect your cost, your desire, everything else that goes on in property ownership. One thing, I'll get to a quick aside here for a second. My insurance for my property, the fire insurance as well as the homeowner's insurance, is in jeopardy. As anybody who has insurance here in California knows, the weather-related incidences, and we've been talking about weather-related disasters and how it affects you and your buy, especially if it's a hurricane or a fire or any number of earthquakes that happen here in Southern California, can affect whether you can get a loan or not. Well, the main thing about getting a loan is getting insurance. You have to get insurance in order to get a loan, not only insurance on the loan, but insurance on the property, and you have to have both before you close. Well, all of the major suppliers of homeowners insurance here in California are looking to cancel your policy. And I don't know if you know it, but there's probably four or five different companies and probably going to go up to seven or eight different companies that are going to get out of California. I'm not going to name them here. You can look them up yourself. But anyway, I have also been affected by that, and I'll just tell you my quick story. And you can either say, wow, that's amazing, or yeah, I know, it's happened to me too. But we're all susceptible to it because, let's face it, if you own a home here in Southern California, you've got earthquake, you've got flood, and you've got fire. And all of those things are disaster to insurance companies. So, quick story. So, we got a notice from our insurance company that we were to be canceled unless we do a fire certification from a third-party company certifying that we are a certain level of fireproofed property. So we had the person over today, and this is after we had removed all the brush, all the plants from at least 5 to 10 feet away from the house, all around the house. Now, we have a house that's been there since 1980. Now, when there was a fire in Malibu in 2018 that burned many, many houses, 600 houses. Now, so I can understand why they don't want to insure us. But, in fact, it's not just us. It's everybody in California for these particular companies. So person came over from an independent company, walked around the house, and they detailed for us anything and everything that was wrong with our quote-unquote certification process and whether they would be able to certify us or not. So like most people on the outside of the house, there are many, many numbers of different things, from vents to antennas to wires to plumbing. Depending on where you live, we live on a canyon-like property, so we have a lot of things that aren't in the ground because if you put it in the ground and the ground moves, they're going to break the equipment. So we put them on the lower portion of the house. Well, on our particular house, that means all the electrical, all the plumbing, anything having to do with air conditioning, which we installed 20, 25 years ago, as well as our solar panels, which the batteries are right up against the house. So all this stuff has to not only get moved, but it has to get fireproofed before it's put back, as well as 12 inches of fireproofing flashing on the where the house meets the earth. Now, in several areas of our house, that's not a problem because it's, you know, there's nothing there. It's basically unexposed. But on this particular area of our house, because we live on a canyon, it's a retaining wall. So the retaining wall between the retaining wall and the house is about 5 feet. And then all this equipment has to get moved. So it's a major undertaking. Now, on the other side of the house, we have a retaining wall, but it is made from railroad ties. Anybody who knows, has been in the fire, knows that railroad ties are bad. But they are 5 to 7 to 10 feet away from the house. So, you know, there was a question as to whether we would have to remove them. Nope, you got to remove them. So that is 30 feet of retaining wall that we would have to install. Now, I don't know if you know construction, but retaining walls themselves are not cheap, and you need a permit. So the permitting process in our town, maybe it is in your town too, is extensive, long, and expensive. So there you go. So that's one of the awful things about what we have to do, but we have to do it because we need fire insurance. If you don't have fire insurance or any kind of homeowner's insurance for that matter, your house is worth zero because you can't sell it. Unless you are able to sell your house, you can't valuate your house. You can't say, hey, my house is worth this. Well, if the next buyer comes along and can't get fire insurance, no one's going to buy it. So how much is it really worth? So in California, like in most of the United States, equity in your home is what older people have in order to either leave to their kids or to be able to tap into if they want to be able to, you know, have health care or have travel or have any kind of gifting or buy anything. I mean, if your wealth is in your house and you can't tap into your house because you don't have property insurance, well, it's a problem, which means that the trillions of dollars that is in California real estate in terms of the equity available to people who own their home. Now, I'll just quote you a couple of things here about equity in your home. Let's see. 48 million people have equity available in their home. Two-thirds of the homeowners with equity have a 760 FICO or better. 84% of those with equity have mortgages less than 5%. Now, for me, as we've talked about on this show, I've paid off my mortgage. So there's a lot of people, seniors 65 and over, who have done exactly the same. So for these people, equity in their house, you either have it in your house or you have it in the stock market, right? I mean, that's the boomer generation. That's what we did. And so knowing that the next crash in the market is just around the corner, most people take comfort in the fact that they have equity in their home. But if an insurance company is unwilling and unable to insure you, and I don't know if we can afford to do all this renovation, I mean, we're probably talking in excess of $100,000 worth of work to the house just to maybe get insured. And how long? A year, right? So Do you go California Fair Plan? Now, anybody who's applied and gotten California Fair Plan will know that they only insure on fire. They don't insure flood, and they don't insure wind-related, and they don't insure water-related damage. So you are gambling that your property will be okay in those other disaster-like situations rather than just the fire situation. So as you can tell by my own, anxiety about the whole thing, yeah, it's a problem, and I don't know how we're going to solve it. But it's not just a Jeff problem here. It is a California problem, and nobody is addressing it. It's like the situation with real estate agents here in Southern California. Because the business model has changed 100%, the dealing with it by authorities, either NAR or the state of California, to be able to help those people who are in dire situations. I both am a buyer's agent for real estate, and I've got this insurance problem. Now, granted, I have socked away enough money in my lifetime, so I'm not at risk of losing anything, but I would like to be able to insure my house and have a job. These are a couple things that most people just take for granted, but if you are two of those things, real estate agents and homeowner, yeah, you're thinking about your career, and you're thinking about how you make money, and you're thinking about how to insure your property. Okay, 80% of Americans thinks it's a bad time to buy a house. You think? If you have these kinds of insurance problems, yes, it is a bad time to buy a house. However, we don't live in America. We live in California. So most of this is about what's happening in the rest of the country. 389,000 is the median price for homes. It's up 5% this year from last year. We thought we would find property values decreasing. It's not happening. Even with the price of properties going up, price of mortgages going up, we still see the real estate values going up. It's a good thing for people who are selling. It's a bad thing for people who want to buy. Prices in metro areas spike. 93% of markets say home prices increases. That's unbelievable. 559,744 houses available through the MLSs, and 3.3 months of supply are available. Now, that sounds better than it was, but we typically like to see 6 months because that's an equal supply and an equal demand, and we haven't seen that in quite some time, and I don't know if we're going to see it this summer, because it looks like we're shaping up to be, again, another record-breaking year in prices. Anyway, I am Jeff Barton. I am your voice in the real estate and mortgage world, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.